Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, I do pray that we would never forget the great love that Jesus had for us and has for us, for us, his children. I pray that you would open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, that you would open our hearts to see how vast your love for us is in Jesus Christ. And I pray that that love would flow through us to others and back to you. Lord, I pray that we would continue to understand your holiness and your justice and your righteousness and how much we have spurned you and your law. And I pray that we would also grow in understanding how amazing your grace is for us as sinners. Thank you for that we can gather together as your people and celebrate the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray our Christmas would be about that. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We are going to tackle the entire first chapter of Luke, which is 80 verses. But these are some great stories here that God has for us. So Luke chapter 1, the entire chapter. For our first anniversary, Emily and I got to go see Fiddler on the Roof, the musical. You know, tradition, that musical. That's the most famous line from that one. So we got to go downtown Chicago and see it. This was with the original Tevye, and it was his last tour before he retired. And it was enjoyable, but there's one thing that stood out to me. The characters kept on interrupting the plot by bursting out into song. You go around and you say, oh, I understand what's happening, and all of a sudden they start singing about something. And if you see musicals live or on video, you go along, all of a sudden they're breaking into song everywhere. It's like, what? You're interrupting the plot. Stop it, please. Strangely enough, this happens in Luke chapter 1. We're reading through the story, and all of a sudden Mary burst out into song. And then you read along, and all of a sudden Zechariah burst out into song. If you like opera, I'm not sure if many of you do, it'd be like an aria, when one of the main characters comes out and sings a solo. And that's what Mary does, and that's what Zechariah does. Like any well-written musical, and here in Luke chapter 1, when there's this song captures some of the main themes of what's happening here. So Luke chapter 1, we're gonna see how God reveals himself to the sleepy hills of Palestine, and how he reveals his love to us. So we're going to find two songs in Luke 1. We're going to find two angels and their announcements, two angelic announcements, and two miraculous children, John the Baptist and Jesus. And we're going to work our way through this chapter, and we're going to compare the two main characters, Mary and Zechariah, and we're going to find some encouragement from their songs that they sing. So the first 25 verses of Luke chapter 1 are about Zechariah, who is the father of John the Baptist. And in Zechariah, we see a failure of faith. A failure of faith. Luke 1, starting at verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. What he's saying there, he said, he's writing to his friend, Luke is, and saying, you have learned about Christianity. You have been taught about Jesus Christ. But I'm writing these things to you so that you can have certainty about what you've believed. So Luke is not writing fairy tales. Luke is writing history. And Luke has done his research. He investigated these things. And when he found out everything he could, he wrote them down for us. So it's encouraging as we crack open Luke chapter 1, we hear from God, we hear from the author Luke, that this is true. This is history, carefully researched. Verse 5 starts the story. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias. Some translations have Zechariah, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken or well advanced in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So Zechariah was a priest for God, and his duty was twice a year to go up to Jerusalem and serve in the temple for 1 week. So twice a year he had a 1 week of service and then another week of service. And here it says his lot was taken. Once in a priest's lifetime, he was able to go into the inner part of the temple and offer incense to the Lord as part of the sacrifice, as part of the worship of Israel. And so this is a pretty special time in Zechariah's life. He was chosen among thousands of priests to offer up the incense. And this is probably the evening sacrifice. There was a morning and an evening sacrifice when they would worship the Lord. Starting here in verse 10. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. See, Luke has done his research because he knows what side the angel has appeared. And the right side is the side of favor. So this is a good thing for Zechariah. Now, it should be shocking that an angel appears to you, but it's a good thing because he's standing on the right side of the altar, the side of favor. Verse 12, and when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him, naturally. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. This is cool. God says, your prayers are being answered. And I'm sure, like any couple that wants children, they've been praying for decades to have kids. And the angel says, we have heard. Verse 14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And see, what the angel is telling Zechariah here is that your son is going to be a prophet. In the Old Testament, these prophets would often be characterized by this, not drinking alcohol, and they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. So not even a son, but even a prophet as well. So this is pretty exciting news for Zechariah. Verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias or Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So this is exciting. In the very last book of the Old Testament, in Malachi, God tells his people, I am going to send Elijah before the great and awesome day of the Lord. And the angel is telling Zechariah that your son is going to be that guy that the Old Testament prophets have talked about. Verse 18. How would you respond to this amazing announcement? And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. You heard the most amazing announcement in your life, and you say, how? I can imagine an awkward pause in the temple after Zechariah asks this question. And the angel clears his throat. He's like, well, we need to have that conversation, I see. Do you know where babies come from, Zechariah? Zechariah's hang-up is not how this will happen. Notice what he asked. How shall I know this? So he, what does he want? He wants a sign, a confirmation that God will really do what the angel has told him. You got an angel appearing to you in the temple and telling you the most amazing news ever. You know the Old Testament. He's a priest. He knows the Old Testament. He knows about Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 when they had Isaac. But he didn't really believe. And the angel says, you know what? You'll get a sign. Verse 19. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. The angel says, you know what? I'll give you something to live with that you will not forget. You won't be able to speak, and probably not hear, from what we understand in Luke 1. You're not going to be able to hear or speak until your son's born, basically. But you are going to remember, and that is your sign. So every time Zechariah wanted to talk or listen, he was reminded, I did not believe what the angel said. Verse 21. And the people waited for Zechariah, and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, that he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he was beckoning or motioning unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men. God's word comes true, folks. The angel said it, and it happened. And we're not sure why Elizabeth hid herself away for 5 months. Perhaps she was celebrating. Perhaps she was praying. We're not sure. But God's word came true that the angel spoke. So that's Zechariah. And Zechariah is a picture of unbelief. He's an experienced priest. He's godly. Now we have Mary. Mary is a young woman. But her faith is strong in the Lord's words. Starting at verse 26, we see Mary in her obedience from faith. Her obedience from faith. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused, you want to say engaged, to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign forever, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So back then, in the Jewish culture, a man and a woman would be pledged to be married, and their engagement would last at least a year. So Mary and Joseph are engaged to be married, almost considered to be married, a little bit more important than an engagement. And this angel appears to her and says, you're going to have a baby. And he's going to be the most awesome person ever. It's going to be the Messiah that the Jewish people have been waiting for. How would you respond? How does Zechariah respond? How does Mary respond? Now, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? What's she asking? Now, Zechariah is married. He understands the Old Testament. Things like this had happened before in the Old Testament. Abraham and Sarah being an example. Never in the history of the world had a virgin conceived and given birth to a child. And so she's understanding by these angels' words, not that her and Joseph are going to get married and they'll have a baby and name his name Jesus. No, she's saying, she's understanding the angels' words, so I will get pregnant right now and I will have a child. And she responds, saying, I'm not sure, how does this even work? The angel responds in verse 35. The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. I love how Jesus is described in these verses here. He shall be called great, the Son of the Most High. He shall reign on the throne of his father David. There shall be no end to his kingdom. He shall be called holy, the Son of God. There is no one like Jesus, like this child. And Mary is the mother of Jesus. And we start to see God's promises in the Old Testament come true for the ultimate deliverer for his people. The Son of God is coming to earth, and it's awesome. Mary is given a sign. Did you notice that? She is given a sign. And the sign is that her relative Elizabeth is miraculously expecting a baby. What's the difference between Mary and Zechariah? They both ask questions. Zechariah gets in trouble, and Mary gets off the hook. How does that work? See, Zechariah asked for a sign as a replacement for faith. He wants to lean on a sign instead of believing the words. Mary is given a sign as an encouragement to her faith. Notice what she says. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Saying, I believe what you say, let it be. See, Elizabeth was excited when she heard about her pregnancy. She's rejoicing over it. It's awesome. Mary's pregnancy, yes, it's going to be awesome. It's going to cost her, though. It's going to cost her social scorn. She's not married, and she has a baby. But what's everyone going to think? So she commits herself to the words of the Lord. I am the servant of the Lord. So we see Zechariah's lack of faith. We see Mary's obedience from her faith. And then, verses 39 to 45, we see Mary and Elizabeth meet. And we see the blessing of faith. If you want to go back to the opera illustration or the musical illustration, this is where the two main characters meet and sing a duet together, kind of like that. So we have Mary and Elizabeth meeting, the intertwining of Jesus and John the Baptist's stories here in verse 39 to 45. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. You can almost hear Elizabeth saying, Finally, someone in my family gets it. Now my husband didn't believe, and he can't speak, he can't hear. He's such a nuisance, Elizabeth, with these days. Now, Mary, you get it. Blessed are you because you believe the words of the Lord. And there is great blessing for believing the words of the Lord. And then Mary burst out into song. We're going to skip that and come back to it. And we're going to fast forward to verse 57. And this is the birth of John. John's birth and the lessons of faith that Zechariah learns. The lessons of faith that Zechariah learns. So verse 57. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was open immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt around about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. So you have the birth of John the Baptist, which is mirrored by the birth of Jesus in Luke 2, which we read earlier in the service. So this was way out. You got to name this boy Zechariah. And he says John. So this is throwing people off. It doesn't make much of a difference for us today, but for them it was very important to follow that family name. But then their surprise gives way to fear when Zechariah, after almost a whole year of being silent, starts to talk again and praising the Lord. And they're saying something is up. Okay, we have a miraculous birth. We have a guy speaking again. We have this child named John and Zacharias. There's something happening. And in the quiet hills of Palestine, God was unleashing his plan to save his people. And I love here how the faith of Zechariah grows. Through his discipline of silence. When he says, his name is John, he's saying this, I believe the words of the Lord. I believe that those words are true, and I'm going to act on them. And his lack of faith in the temple is surprising. Did you notice how he's talked about at the beginning of the chapter? He's blameless. He's walking in all the commandments of God. This is a good guy. He's following the Lord. But then he lacks faith and doesn't believe what God says. But the young virgin is quick to trust the Lord. Folks, it is a battle to believe no matter your age. So don't think about the person behind you who might be older than you, talking to you. It is a battle to believe no matter what your age. But we see Zechariah's lesson of faith learned as he trusts the words of the Lord. So that's the two angels' announcements, and we have two births, the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus. And obviously in this sermon we can't talk about all the allusions and quotes from the Old Testament that are in this chapter. This chapter is dripping with Old Testament language. I want to focus now on the two songs, the Song of Mary and it's more of a prophecy of Zechariah, his song as well. And I really wanted to pull some things we can learn today from these two songs. And these songs sum up, really, what we need to learn from these events, from this story of the beginning of Jesus and John the Baptist. So let's look at Mary's song, verses 46 to 55. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in their imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Throughout this chapter, throughout the book of Luke, we see God bless the humble and tear down the proud. And this is the theme of Mary's song. Look with me at verse 48. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, his servant. Verse 51 and 52. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. Often at Christmas, we think about the humility of Jesus Christ. He was in heaven, Son of God in all his glory. He comes down and takes on human flesh and dwells with us. We should certainly celebrate that this season. But our amazement at the humility of Jesus stepping from heaven to a feeding trough to a cross should mirror our amazement at our lack of humility in light of his overwhelming greatness. Because, folks, we are proud. Look at verse 53. Pride and humility are expressed in a different way here in this verse. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. Humility is knowing that we are spiritually empty. We got nothing. Pride is thinking that we have everything and we don't need God. Jesus puts it this way in Luke chapter 6. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Folks, Christmas is about God filling empty souls with good things and rejecting those who think they've got it made. You know, holidays are one of those times when we have mounds of food to eat. We have heaps of Christmas presents under the tree. But don't let the stuffing of the season mask the true state of your soul. Your soul could be as empty as your wallet after Christmas shopping. The humble come to Jesus and are filled. The proud ignore Jesus and walk away hungry. Now, folks, Christmas is not about Jesus coming to earth and giving a gold star to those who have it together. Christmas is about Jesus taking our poverty and giving us his riches. He fills the empty with good things. And that's what Christmas is about. It exalts the humble and fills up those who are hungry. That's Mary's song. Christmas is for the humble. Number two, Zechariah's song. Christmas is about God's tender mercy. Christmas is about God's tender mercy in Jesus. Let me read that song for you. Verse 67. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he has swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring, the sunrise from on high, hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, and in the shadow of death to guide our feet in the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Zechariah blesses God for the provision of salvation. And he says, My son, John, is going to prepare the way of the Lord. That's Jesus. And right at the last few verses here, Zechariah tells us that the light of the Messiah will shine into the darkness of this world. So to sum up Zechariah's song, God's mercy is shown in salvation from our sins, the Old Testament promises kept, and light in the darkness. And this is all from God's tender mercy. His compassionate mercy. I love that term. God has compassion and tenderness on us. And through God's mercy, we get the rising sun. And that's Jesus, the Messiah. Look at verse 78 and 79. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring or the sunrise from on high hath visited us. That's Jesus. That's the promise of the Messiah. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the way of peace. Take a drive around your neighborhood at night, if you don't live too far out in the country, and you see that Christmas is a time of light. Christmas lights everywhere, outside the house, inside the house, in the stores. And with all the lights that we see, we would think that Christmas is a time of light, joy, and peace. But even though there's light on the outside, there can be incredible darkness in our hearts. Physical suffering, spiritual suffering, confusion, depression, sin's blackness in our soul. It's into this darkness that God's Son rises. As the prophet Isaiah said, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And Christmas is all about God's compassion on our darkness and giving us the light of Jesus. The light of Jesus is powerful enough to pierce the blackness of sin in your heart. There would be nothing better this Christmas than to have the sunrise of Jesus flood light into your soul. When all the Christmas lights come down, when the tree is tossed into the woods or fed to the garbage truck, when you tangle all your Christmas decorations together and put them in the box, and you turn off the lights and head to bed, you can still have the light of Jesus burning in your heart all year. That is Christmas, the light of Jesus for our dark hearts. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this chapter about the glorious revelation of Jesus Christ, the lessons of faith for us. Pray that we would trust your words. Pray most of all, Lord, that we would see the light of Jesus, that you would pierce into our dark hearts, and that you would save us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.